Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. This is the number one noon hour hockey show in Canada. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
When you go here with Bernie, like...
Yeah, I don't know. Time. So, it's a real good question. You know, he's probably never been through anything like this. Well, I know he hasn't, just been talking to him. And so, he's got a rebound, but at what expense? You know what I mean? And so... we got to figure that out, and I just know that Sparks gets an opportunity today, and the beauty about this business is the truth today isn't necessarily the truth tomorrow, so we'll get up tomorrow and go from there.
Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock talking about the status of Jonathan Bernier, who will back up tonight as Garrett Sparks gets his first National Hockey League start. We have it on Sportsnet, the Toronto Maple Leafs hooking up with the Edmonton Oilers. Ontario East and West, Vancouver and Anaheim, 10 o'clock Eastern time on Sportsnet Pacific. We have some breaking news from the Montreal Canadiens as well to get to. Darren Millard here at Hockey Central with Corey Hirsch and Scott Morrison. We've Carey Price, the Montreal Canadiens have revealed, is out another 6 weeks. So that's 7 weeks since he re-injured the lower body injury. Does that surprise you, that timeline?
Well, first off, I'm sensing a goalie show coming up here today, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Rick St. Croix is going to come on the program,
yes.
Former Toronto Maple Leaf goaltending coach, chat about Reimer, Sparks, and Bernier. But a minimum of 6 more weeks, which takes you to the outdoor game for the Montreal Canadiens and gives them a larger framework to deal with when it comes to adding some help or potential reinforcement. Is your mic on there? Okay. Corey Hirsch?
Well, here's how I look. I'm wondering if they're being a little bit overly cautious, which is okay. That's great. I think they should be with Carey Price. The scary part for the rest of the league is you're going to have arrested Carey Price going down the stretch the last 3 months. He's only going to get about... probably now 45 to 50 games in, which for an NHL goalie going into the playoffs, that's a pretty good number to have. And he's going to be rested and ready to go going into the playoffs for that team. I think that's a smart thing to do. That's my personal opinion.
I'm just going to work on your microphone. Give us a little test there.
There we go.
Okay.
The light is finally on. In so many ways.
Is that done on purpose?
You want to follow up?
I've been censored and muted.
Follow up on that?
Well, I was saying originally they had said a minimum 1 week and it turned into three. So now you have in less than a month, you've got a recurring injury. So you would expect that it would be a longer time frame. They're saying surgery is not required. It's widely believed that it's his right knee and that it can heal on its own. And I think you definitely err on the side of caution with this guy for so many different reasons. Not the least of which is his future itself in a contract 2 years on the horizon. It's going to be a monster deal. But to Corey's point that you want this guy, you need him healthy in April, not in January. You make sure he's 100%.
That's the development on the Montreal Canadiens side for the Toronto Maple Leafs, a goaltending dilemma with Jonathan Bernier being relegated to backup duty tonight as the Leafs tab a player who's never suited up for a National Hockey League regular season game in Garrett Sparks. The message that this sends to Jonathan Bernier and as to where he is right now in his development.
Look, first off, I'm happy to see the kid get a start. I'm always happy to see that. I'm a little bit, I'll use the word flabbergasted by why are you doing this? Like, why are you not trying to play Jonathan Bernier out of this? I thought we were in a development. I didn't think we were trying to win the Stanley Cup. It is good to get the kid in to see what he can do. But where is Jonathan Bernier going to be after this? Where's his head at? It's not like he's a bad guy where he's out and he's out partying and, you know, you got to rein him in and he's a Johnny Manziel or whatever and you're trying to punish
Menzel.
Him.
Menzel.
Yeah.
Him too.
Him, yeah. But this is a guy that he works hard. He's a good guy. He's a good teammate. I don't understand it. I mean, I think you got to play him through it.
Scott, what did you make of the Babcock comments that we played to open up the show? we have to get him through it, but at what cost?
Well, I guess the cost from Mike's point of view is that he's come in with a mantra and he's pretty much stuck to it that if you don't play well, you don't play, and regardless of your position. And I think the feeling is the cost is I don't want to have a goaltender who's battling and struggling bring the rest of the group down. That's how I read it, having heard additional clips to give it more context. So, but I tend to agree with Corey is he's a $4 million goalie for this year and next. So you clearly had faith in him when you put pen to paper. Don't you have to kind of battle through this and get – this is a guy with fragile confidence – and he's a bit of, from all accounts, a bit of a thinker and thinks too often. And that's when he gets into some of these speed wobbles. But I don't know why you don't come back and try to build him up. And what happens if Reimer is only a couple days away and Sparks pitches a shutout tonight? Then what do you – then you've got a controversy.
Here's Rick St. Croix, former Toronto Maple Leaf goaltender coach, and now working with the Manitoba Moose of the American Hockey League. Rick, you're very familiar with all three guys with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Thanks for stopping by and joining us today. But the challenge that Bernier has right now, is it physical or is it mental?
I would say probably mental. Yep. It's an issue for all goaltenders is their confidence level, how they're feeling and their about their game, about themselves, and that certainly reflects in the ice. So that would be my gut feeling. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're looking forward to Toronto and the Edmonton Oilers tonight on Sportsnet Ontario East and West. First of all, give us a scouting report, a little bit of background on Garrett Sparks and what you know of him.
Well, Garrett's been with the organization for a few years now, and I think after you've gotten a couple of years of pro under your belt, if your stats warrant it, and he has done that, he's played well, then he deserves a look. Now, whether this is the right time is not my place to say, but he's certainly a prospect and someone that's going to get a few games along his journey here because he's earned that. And I think he's a very capable young goaltender.
What are his strengths?
Go ahead.
What are his strengths?
Well, his size, just because he's big, helps, and that's pretty evident with some of these goalies. He's a big goalie, but he can move. I felt that he covered low. I felt he handled the puck well. I think that he has a good read. He's a bright kid. And in a lot of games, he made the difference. So that's usually a criteria when you can see that he had an effect on the game big time. So he's capable of playing some really good hockey, and he's certainly, in terms of a young prospect, if you can get the enthusiasm of some young blood in different situations, it's sometimes really helpful to your team.
Just getting back to Bernier for a minute, Rick, and not to second guess, but we're all entitled to an opinion, and you're a goalie coach. If you, as a goalie coach, were asked your recommendation, would you come back with Bernier tonight?
Well, that's a very difficult situation. I'm a little bit more removed than I need to be for a good decision there. I think placing confidence in someone is important, especially someone like Bernie, who they've placed a lot of confidence in the past, and he has played well for the past. Would I come back with him? There would be times I definitely would. No matter who the goalie was, there'd be definitely times. Excuse me. And then it would be maybe there'd be occasions where, no, we do need to make a change. And that's why, management is going to be having to make a call on whatever reasons. I definitely would agree that there are times you need to come back with it. And it's proven that over the years. You come back with the guy that you're trying to build up, but if you there could be other factors in there that would change the reasoning for that, and that's certainly not my decision to make.
Rick St. Croix with us on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet and the NHL Network. Darren Millard with Corey Hirsch and Scott Morrison. How much have you been able to watch Jonathan Bernier
this year? Not much. I've seen Rhymes a few periods. I maybe seen Bernier two periods. I liked But Jonathan Lott, I like working with him, and he did play well for us, and he's a extremely gifted goaltender. It's just that there's a human element to everyone, and it's just sometimes the feel isn't like it should be or could be, and there's so many reasons in an athlete's mind that whatever that could be.
Is he too technical, Rick, at times? Structured?
I never felt he was. Working with him, I felt that he needed to be technically solid. But I thought it just flowed. I didn't think it was extremely pushed in the way he approached the game with me and our off-ice sessions and everything. But which goalies aren't? This is a game of the technical side of it to me. Most goalies are pretty darn technical. The difference is some are able to read the game so well that they can anticipate better than others, and some are a little more athletic. And I think we tend to have a lot of cookie cutters where a lot of goalies look and like they should be able to do everything. And it's only in actual game performance that you see a difference. And that's what's kind of surprising or hard to figure out sometimes. They practice like nines, and then they play like a seven, and then they practice like sevens and they play like a nine in a game. So it's sort of hard to read. Like the technical part of it, I think in many cases is very strong with all of them. It's just, it's in the between the ears, which is an easy out, I guess, but it's so true.
Just in general, in general terms, Rick, when you have a goaltender, a little bit fragile confidence-wise and whatnot, what do you do to try and get them back on the game? Do you show them a highlight reel of all things they do well and great games and saves and things like that?
I wish I knew the exact formula.
Yeah.
My personal way might work, a few times, and other times I might walk away saying I'm not sure that worked, but I would certainly want him to be feeling good about himself, so I would approach it like today's a good day to play hockey, first off, and there has to be an enthusiastic feel for getting to the rink. And then what can we accomplish today? And it's just doing the little things well, and out of those little things come the bigger things, which right now just keep things in perspective. And sometimes we lose that perspective. So I would get more into let's feel good. Let's feel good about today, feel good about ourselves, and let's go out and get the job done. And they've done it so many days, so many years, and they're good at it. I mean, they wouldn't be here if they weren't. It's just bringing back those good memories, and maybe it could be through some good video or whatever. But in the most cases, it's not as bad as it ever seems, and it's not as good as it ever seems. Mm-hmm. And the goalies need a short memory. Whether you played really well the night before, the next day you've got to come back and start with your working boots and get to work. And if you had a bad game, it's the same thing the next morning. Come back and get back to work.
Where do you – absolutely, I know that true as well as you do, but where do you see Jonathan Bernier long-term? Like, do you think he's a legit number one in the National Hockey League?
Well, I think he has shown in parts he can. I think for me, he's had a few injuries, and that's what's held him back. So, to be honest, I think he can. I like him a lot. My concern would be if the injuries are such that they're going to pop in there, then that would be the concern I might have. But having said that, I've seen him just carry his team and do so well. So I do like Jonathan Bernier.
So go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so much talk these days about the size of goalie equipment. I'm just curious where you stand on all of that. Should it be shrunk? Can it be shrunk? And I guess the nets, what do you think about those?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting topic. For me, I just think the game is in good shape. I don't know why everyone talks about it. Is it really in trouble? Is it really because you're not scoring goals? I think they're scoring goals. I mean, the goals are going in. How are you going to take it away? If you went back to the way we wore our equipment, it might look pretty funny, and yeah, you'd see more net for sure, but you'd have to sure make sure they were protected well. We don't need injuries. I don't see why everyone wants to have all these changes to create Like, why a bigger net? Why smaller equipment again? It's certainly going to affect the game. It's going to affect certain goalies who tend to be more blockers or hoping to have pucks hit them. And if they're smaller, then percentages are going to say it's not going to hit them. So you have some careers that are going to be affected, I think. And that'll be a shocker to some. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll just be able to handle it. But I think the game is in good shape, and I don't see why we need to tinker with it.
You know what doesn't happen anymore, Rick? Nobody flinches. The flinch factor is totally out of the game.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. There would be times, I remember in my seasons, and I'd say, oh, I hope that goes away. And it usually would. It might last a week or something. And I guess that was just, I didn't know why it would come every now and then, and then it would kind of go away. But then you'd see some goalies where it was more prominent in their game, and you knew that they couldn't probably play that game consistently well, because you can't be reacting with a finching and then a save. But I still see it occasionally, but yeah, you're right. It's not very often, but they're sure protected. But then again, the shooters, sometimes in practices, that's where you just see the volume of shots coming and the high shots, and guys get carried away, and you got to start barking at them to smarten up. But it's sort of like, here we go again. But they take so many shots. Fortunately, they don't appear to be having the concussion issues for the most part from direct shots. They're seeing it seems to be body contact and running into people that would be affecting them in the crease area. But it's an interesting topic.
Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it, Rick.
Well, I hope it shared a little bit of thought. Anyway, so all the best to you guys.
Absolutely.
Take care. Thank you. Yeah.
Former Maple Leafs goaltending coach, now works with the Manitoba Moose, Winnipeg Jets organization. Darren Millard, along with Corey Hirsch and Scott Morrison. What was your first NHL game?
My first NHL game was very similar. It was in Detroit, but it was in February. Mike Richter was not playing well, so they sent him down to the minors, actually, for five games. And this is when Richter was one of the best goalies in the National Hockey League. So they called me up. I had been having a really good year in Binghamton. So they called me up. The team wasn't doing well. Richter wasn't doing well. They sent Richter down, played him for five games in the minors, where he was lights out, obviously, in the minors for Ricky was, really wasn't much of a challenge. But I got to play in my first couple NHL games, one in Detroit where we tied 2-2.
That was your first game?
That was my first game.
How nervous were you?
You know what? I wasn't as nervous as you would think I would be because at that point, you get to the point where you're so young and you're so kind of green, I guess, that you just kind of, well, I guess this is what it is. And you just go on the net. I'd be more nervous today. But anyways,
so would your team.
Yeah. they were nervous, I'm pretty sure, for me. But Ricky came back, had a great finish to the year. It worked out really well for him. I went back to the minors. I was only 20 years old, but if they're going to do so, maybe that's what they need to do with Bernier. Send him down for a couple games. It's going to have to be at his consent to go on conditioning, but get him a couple games and get his game back.
Isn't that a major risk? What if that doesn't work?
Well, if you go down and you fizzle, then it's a huge gamble and loss.
What's he making this year? $4
million?
He's still getting a paycheck. He's okay. Let's not feel too bad for him.
Well, but at the end of the day,
I know.
It's all about how you play.
It absolutely is.
But it would be a gamble from that confidence standpoint. But
I think he would go down
also get him going.
We did it with Brian Elliott in St. Louis. He went down, he had played 10 terrible games in a row. He went down, got a shutout in Peoria, came back up, and he was our guy for the rest of the year. He was lights out for the rest of the year. I think it works.
What do you see missing in Bernier's game?
Confidence. He's way thinking too much. But in his defense, Reimer's playing over his head. So everyone's like, oh, James Reimer. And I'm happy for James. I think he's doing great. He is that type of guy. But can James Reimer keep this up the whole year? I don't know. I don't know if he can because, he's playing over his head, whereas Bernier is kind of playing under his talent level. So at some point, it's all going to kind of come back to the middle. And I think that'll happen for Bernier. I think he'll come back. He'll be fine. I don't know if he's a legit number one as it is. I think he's a really good backup. And we're trying to force him in Toronto into a number one role in one of the biggest markets in the world.
Darren Millard along with Corey Hirsch and Scott Morrison here in Hockey Central. Edmonton and Toronto tonight on Sportsnet Ontario, East and West. No Connor McDavid, but he is with the team, rejoining the team today, and will stop by our Hockey Central studio as part of the pregame show from 7 to 7.30 tonight. Vancouver and Anaheim on Sportsnet Pacific. Other action, Carolina and the Rangers, who aren't playing as well as they were earlier, and the Islanders and Colorado. For the Oilers, this is a team that's also looking for some confidence. They get Justin Schultz back, but Jordan Eberle hasn't been the same since he's returned from his shoulder injury. And this is a club that's grasping right now for confidence as a team, not just in the goaltending position.
Yeah. I mean, we're all hearing of the three-way trade with Hamonic and Eberle, and I'm not sure who else was involved. It hasn't happened, obviously. So I don't know if it is going to happen, but they could use a little spark on D. I think that's where, you know, they've got all these talented forwards, but they can't seem to be able to go from, you know, defense to offense to get these guys the puck. And that's where, you know, this is where this team is going to have to make a deal, and they might have to give up a major piece.
Well, it feels like the same question marks they finished last year with have returned. That the goaltending's been inconsistent. Talbot hasn't been. He had a decent start, but I'm not sure he's been at the level that they want. And some holes on the blue line. And the overall group without McDavid just isn't good enough. And maybe it is time for a move to, you know, shake it up
absolutely.
A little bit. You
absolutely.
Know what you've got in McDavid when he gets back, and you're not rushing that, even though he's ahead of schedule. Witness Tony Romo, same injury. But I think the evidence is pretty clear, I think, or it's getting clearer that maybe it does require a bit of a shake.
Why is it always Eberle that they talk about moving? I like Eberle. I don't know why you would move him. I think he's a great piece to have on any team. I'm a big fan of Eberle, so I'm not sure why he continues to get mentioned in trade rumors. So you watch him. He's got all the talent. He's a power play guy. You know, he's a veteran guy. I don't understand why his name keeps getting brought up.
Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers tonight on Sportsnet acknowledge that Patrick Kane has extended his point streak to 19 games this season, the longest by an American player ever, passing Eddie Olchek and Phil Kessel's 18-game mark. He's first in league scoring. He's in that conversation right now to be a National Hockey League scoring champion, and this is a year after he probably would have done it last season had he not been hurt. So are you surprised, one, that Patrick Kane is in this has gone from a great player to one of the best in the game?
Well, given what he was going through emotionally and mentally off the ice, and that he was able to focus and play so well on the ice, that surprised me, because if ever a player was going to struggle, you thought that would have been the type of circumstance for it to happen. But I don't know. He just elevates his game. He's gotten better every year, it feels like. And this year, he's just taken it to a whole nother level.
Well, and do we really know what happened in the summer? I mean, nobody really knows.
The cloud was hanging over his head legally, regardless.
But once that cloud is removed,
yeah,
like it was, I gotta think that has part to do with it. You know, all of a sudden, he's got a kind of a new lease on life after going through probably what was a really difficult time in the summer. So he's so fun to watch. I love watching him play.
Looks like he's shooting more.
Yeah, he's so
talented.
And
how much would that affect how you defend against him?
Yeah, well, you know, typically as a goalie, you'd be waiting for him that you would think he's a passer. So you'd kind of make sure that you know everything around you, where everybody is, you know. But then he obviously can rip the puck. And some of the goals he's been scoring are highlight real goals. So now not only do you have to worry about other guys shooting on the Chicago Blackhawks, you got to worry about him shooting as well.
When we continue, back into the Montreal Canadiens side of things, and just a forecast on what Corey Hirsch or Scott Morrison would do in the absence of Carey Price. And we'll get into the LA Kings and what their future is. They want to make some news off the ice. We'll tell you about that on Hockey Central, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, and the NHL Network.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
He's not playing tonight, but Connor McDavid, a hot topic conversation. He met with the media this morning, Air Canada Center, in advance of the Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs playing tonight. You can watch that one on Sportsnet. Connor McDavid will also stop by the Hockey Central studio for a chat during the pregame show, as well as during, I believe, the first intermission, but that could change. Darren Millard here at Hockey Central with Corey Hirsch and Scott Morrison. The battle between John Tortorella and the National Hockey League resumed this weekend.
Yes, we did.
Accusing the Pittsburgh Penguins of whining.
Whiners.
That they whine a lot. And then you had going back and forth between Boston and the New York Rangers.
It was fun. Old-time silliness.
Weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the whole the Boston Rangers thing was Marchand in the middle of it, and Lundqvist and Claude Julien saying that, I know he does some acting off the ice, but he shouldn't bring it to the ice. The goalie
That's
interference
awesome.
And then the barbs and Vigneault wouldn't let it go from their end. So it was fun.
But there's a difference. When that happened, I thought it was funny. When John Tortorella spoke out about the Pittsburgh Penguins, I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit and went, what's he doing?
I've coached as goalie coach against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he's not lying. It's all game long.
It's
they
better
are
now,
all
though.
Over the refs. And if I'm a ref, I'm like, it's got to get tiring. It used to frustrate us to just watch it because every whistle someone's over at the refs. And not sure Tortorella probably should have said it the way he said it. It's, you know, it's not like he's doing stand-up comedy over there with his facial expressions, but he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Every whistle, they're over at the ref, and it gets frustrating to watch.
What do we think of the suspension?
I liked
it. One game,
yeah.
Dubinsky on Crosby. One's enough?
One's enough. Deal with it. And I thought it was justified as one game. You didn't?
I thought, just guessing, but I thought maybe two to three was kind of what we did the game the other night, and we saw it. That was kind of what
it's hard
PJ
not to
and I talked about.
Let your feelings about where Sidney Crosby's come from with his injuries and concussions and not let that seep into it and just look at it as an act alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I had trouble finding the line.
Where I went to maybe more than a game is you had the one shot to the head and then you did it again when
right,
he was down on his back and you
him.
Broke your stick.
Yeah,
so
I
that
agree.
One,
yeah.
A little too much enthusiasm there. That maybe pushed me
the
to
little extra
a
was,
second one,
yeah.
Second game rather.
The Pittsburgh Penguins as a team and their performance, do you feel that
they're confusing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, are they ever.
Yeah.
But are you starting to see them turning a corner?
I think they're battling.
Malkin's been great.
I mean,
great.
Malkin, since they had the misspeak, a couple weekends ago, answered the bell big time in the next game and has been really stepped up his game. I think you're seeing a little more energy and life out of Sid as well. And down the road, and you can speak to it, Corey, but down the road, they may be a better team for what they've gone through here and how they've had to play to win games with the offense. Not at the level we all expected, and maybe we're unrealistic, but not at the level a lot of people thought it would be, and having to win one-goal games, tight games.
It's not often that you and I agree. And I am going to agree with you right now that they will be a better team for it down the road for what they're doing. And they've got a good coaching. Their coaching staff is a good coaching staff. I know Mike Johnson was on the hot seat early, but they're good people, and they know how to bring a group together. And then the goal Malkin scored the other night, was ridiculous. The spin around backhand shelf. That might be one of the best goals I've seen this year. It's one of the top right here. To do that on the backhand is that's tough to do.
And he steals the puck on the back check to get it.
This is the Malkin that we've been waiting to see for a couple of years now because we knew he could do this and he just kind of has been just a good player. This is the player that
I think you've been waiting to see something like that out of the Pittsburgh Penguins. From Sidney, from Phil Kessel, mm-hmm. from Malkin, Chris Letang, those elite players. Give the fans, give the National Hockey League a sign that you've got this.
Yeah, heartbeat, right?
Right.
Yeah.
A highlight reel goal. and you're knocking on December's door, and real the first time that you see something that's go, wow.
Yeah, I would love to see them go on a good run again. That's a team that you would love to watch night after night if they're going to play like that.
When you've got that kind of individual talent, don't you expect highlight reel plays more often than what we've seen? They just seem to have been subdued by structure, mm-hmm. if you want to go down that path of language.
Well, yeah. And that's been part of the issue in the past, is that they have been an exciting, thrilling team to watch that puts up big numbers. But when they needed the structure, it wasn't there. So maybe there's been a more conscious effort from that coaching staff to create that element in their game. And the other part of it, too, is everybody just thought Phil Kessel's going to step in, put him with Malkin, put him with Crosby, and there was going to be this instant chemistry. It takes time. And
instead, he's on pace for 30
How many times
goals.
Have we talked about, you know, Sid's a guy? Well, he's got 7 goals. He's got more assists than goals. Who would ever thought that?
Wow.
Yeah. But and Sid's a different player to play with as well, and we've shown it many times throughout the season that they've had issues getting him the puck where he likes it, you know, moving up the middle of the rink, the defense moving the puck to him and letting him take off with it. They've had some issues in that regard. So I think their game has been evolving, but evolving slowly from the offensive side of it.
And you look at the standings, and they're a top team in the Metropolitan Division. And it's jam-packed, and a couple losses will drop you down to fifth in no time. But their record is
13-8-2.
Beyond acceptable.
I like what Mike Bales has done there. He's a goalie coach for Pittsburgh with Fleury. He's calmed his game down. I think he's looked good the last couple of years. There's a few years ago where everyone was questioning, you know, move this guy, like get rid of him. He can't do it. He's been probably the mainstay of a team that's been spotty, as you say.
Total opposite to what is happening right now with the Toronto Maple Leafs. You'll be able to watch the Oilers and the Leafs on Sportsnet Ontario East and West tonight. 7:30 puck drop. Hockey Central sets you up with it 7 to 7:30. And Garrett Sparks will make his National Hockey League debut against the Edmonton Oilers as Jonathan Bernier will back up tonight. The first few minutes for Garrett Sparks will be like what? Tell me. Give me
some
comparable.
Surreal is the word. It's almost like you're almost in a dream. It's like you just all these players that you grew up watching and they're playing against you and they're shooting on you. And the first 5 minutes are survival. It's kind of a bit of chaos. And then he'll settle in after that. First save is always a big one. Just feeling the puck and being able to do that. The atmosphere going from the minors to the NHL, we always use the word electric. Like it's the energy and the atmosphere in the NHL is electric. In the minors, it's very monotone. It's very quiet. So you build off that energy. It's a pretty cool feeling.
Even though this is the ultimate jump, do you think the fact that he's kind of been jumping along the way over the last year or so from the E to the A. And
it's
now
a seventh-round pick.
Yeah. Do you think that kind of helps him, that it's like, oh, just another day?
And you're young enough that you don't really realize what's happening, which is good. I had spoken to Mike Palmatier a little bit before this, who was an idol of mine, which is pretty, you know, pretty cool. I love, you know, he's a good man. But he had said that with Sparks, he had to get himself in shape, and he had to grow up a little bit. And that's what he's done. He's got his fitness levels up, and he's grown up a little bit. And that's what's been able to have him continue to make the jump from level to level. It's maturity. So let's see how he handles this, and let's see if he's mature enough now to handle this.
You listen to Garrett Sparks talk about his progression, and he references July. Not July as in 3 years ago or 4 years ago, but this past July. And he's been a pro for a few now. Mm-hmm. That he dedicated himself to being in shape and wiped off 17 pounds.
Some guys
17
get it.
Pounds.
This is the frustrating as a coach is some guys get it, and this is great that this kid's got. And then it gets frustrating the guys that don't get it. Right, this kid's got it. He's figured it out. So maybe this is a bit of a reward too. You know, we haven't talked about that. Maybe this is a reward for the kid for his hard work. It might be one and done for a year or whatever, but. You know, I think that might be part of it as well.
He likes to play the puck. Now, would you advise him to quiet that part of his game in the early going tonight or get as many touches as he can?
If he's a guy that likes to play the puck, you probably want to get the feel of it. I wouldn't advise him to touch and try and play everything. But I would just say play your regular game. Play the same game and see what happens. If you're good with it, go out and feel it and get it on your stick. And that's the stuff that'll get him into the game.
You don't want him thinking.
Yeah.
And say, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? Just let him play.
Yeah, Bernie is doing enough of that for everybody.
For everybody, yeah.
Right now. Is it easier because Bernier's been going through this struggle that he's not stepping in and taking over for a guy that's been red hot? And
oh, absolutely it is. You go in there and you're thinking, well, it can't be much worse than that guy right now. And poor Bernier. I mean, if I could go down there and give him a hug at the ACC right now, I would. But it's always easier to step in a situation where you have zero expectations on you.
So here's a goalie question. Let's go to Montreal. Mm-hmm. We talked earlier, Carey Price out a minimum of 6 more weeks with the suspected knee injury, lower body. What do you do if you're Canadians right now? You've got Mike Condon, who's been a great story.
It's a really good question.
And Tokarski is your second goalie. But now you're staring down 6 more weeks, maybe a few more than that. Do you go out and try and find a more experienced second goalie?
Corey?
I think you wait and you see what happens here for the next week or two. Condon's been he's been very inconsistent, but he hasn't hurt them.
Well,
to this point.
I mean, he played those 9
when
Carey was out, and those last 3 probably. I mean, they were down 3-0 in every game, and don't hang it all on the kid, but it seemed like some of the cracks in his game were showing. I mean, that's a huge workload to throw on a young goalie who's moved up himself.
Here's where you worry is that now Carey Price becomes not as durable as what he was. So now you're going to the playoffs. This is a team that wants to win. They're primed for a cup. This is their time. So now if Carey Price goes down and your first round of the playoffs, is this the guy that you think can win you the cup? Probably not.
And that's why I'm saying at some point, you don't have to do it tomorrow, but address it because
you
need to have that kind of depth. And if you get in a situation, barring the total unforeseen, that Carey Price went down in the playoff, you're going to be a team more than likely that will need 2 goalies to get you through it.
No
and
question.
We saw a lot of that in the first opening round last spring.
But just to put somebody in there as a stopgap, the guy that's been around the NHL for a couple of years, and throw him in there because he can get you through 5 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah, right now is not the time.
But I don't think that's the guy that you're looking at if you're Montreal. I
still thought they needed to have an upgrade in overall depth. Mm-hmm.
I think you need somebody who could step in and has experience of being a guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the other side of it, though. You don't want a guy that's going to come in and pressure Carey Price.
No, he's going to pressure Carey Price.
Well, you bring in a veteran backup. Sometimes that they start to feel. Lou Lamoriello never brought in a guy that would push Marty Brodeur. Mm. And that's so you want Carey Price to be completely secure in his job, which he should be. But he's human, and as goalies, we feel the pressure. We know there's a guy standing behind us. So you want to bring in a guy, that's going to help you. But you also don't want to bring in a guy that's too good. It's a fine line, actually, believe it or not.
Well, interesting times for Canadians right now because of injuries. And they already had a fairly gaping hole on the right side on their second line. And now all of a sudden you've lost two of your best players in Gallagher and Carey Price for extended period now. It's going to be a big challenge for that team. And I know doing the Friday night game, Therrien had to put the lines in a blender. He moved Galchenyuk to right side on the number one line with Pacioretty and Plekanec. And he got some output from him as a center on the second line and then had to move him up to the first line. So I think you're going to see Michel Therrien having to do some serious coaching through all of this. And, I mean, he's a guy that adjusts well on the fly, but I think you're going to see Canadians do a lot of juggling along the way.
Who's the best team in the Central Division? It's Darren Millard, Corey Hirsch, and Scott Morrison here at Hockey Central, looking ahead to a 4-game night in the National Hockey League. Dallas is leading, still have to prove that they can mm-hmm. be this team in the NHL. But at this point, you think they're going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, it would take a pretty large collapse for that not to happen.
And then St. Louis, Chicago also occupy those top 3 playoff positions. The wild card spots, belong to two Central Division teams in Nashville and Minnesota. And then Winnipeg is on the outside looking in a couple of points back.
Well, I know what you think. It's Winnipeg.
No, Winnipeg should be considered one of the better teams in the Central, but they're not playing like it.
No, they haven't been.
Not even in November was the exact opposite of October and erased any type of leverage that they had. But who's the best team in the Central Division now?
I'm not sure that there's a clear-cut one, but I'll stick with Chicago.
Yeah, Stanley Cup champions.
And the two, arguably the two best players in Kane and Toews. And, you know, they struggled through not having Keith on the blue line as well. So I would still stay with Chicago.
Yeah, I again, agreeing with you, but just to be a little bit different, I like St. Louis. I like the fact what they've done with Jake Allen is that they're just starting to play him every night. And he's that good, and you get him rolling, and you know, this might be finally what they've been looking for. And he's been lights out back there, and he's a guy that hopefully, or for them, can get them out of that first round hump and get them through a couple rounds of playoffs.
And they may be that team, to your point, but it comes back to they're in the Show Me State.
Yeah,
and the Show Me State is April.
Nobody ever whispers Nashville or Minnesota. And from what the Minnesota Wild did in the second half of last season, and Devan Dubnyk has picked up right where he left off, and there's been no fallback there for Devan Dubnyk, and the Nashville Predators, I think, are a better team this year than they were a year ago, and I thought they would have pushed Chicago more in that playoff series.
Yeah, for me, there's I'll go Minnesota first. They're just too conservative. They can't get over that hump because they just play so conservative and so defensive that you need to be able to turn it the other way as well. You have to be just as good offensively as you are defensively. And I just don't think they have that. I think they're a great defensive team. I'm not sure if they have the know-how of how to get that extra goal to get through the Chicago's and the St. Louis's when push comes to shove. Nashville, almost similar. I'm not big on their depth up front for scoring. I mean, they just went three games without scoring a goal. So as much as defense wins championships, you have to be just as good offensively as you are defensively to be able to win a Stanley Cup. Like, you look at what Chicago's done over the years. They've been just as good offensively as they have been defensively. That's why those two teams just don't really scare me. Dallas is a wild card, obviously, with Sagan and Ben, because that, to me, is the best line in hockey right now.
Well, you look at Nashville's top eight scorers, and five of them are defensemen.
That's not a good sign.
With not a lot of points. So
it's not a good sign.
And they're a minus two as a team goal differential. So I still think – and then there was a stretch, I think, to start the season where Nashville, you would have said, was the best team there in that division. But they flatlined a bit, and you know, three straight without a goal.
Edmonton against Toronto tonight on Sportsnet. How would you grade Edmonton's season so far?
We talked about it off air. They're last place, but I think they've been better than a last place team. And people I've talked to around the organization have said Todd McLellan has done a great coaching job with that team, and that they're probably better than their record indicated. And had a huge blow when you lose your best player.
Okay, what about Toronto?
I think Toronto has been better than I certainly thought they would be.
And there's a point between these two teams.
Exactly.
One point. But you look at them slightly.
They have a different,
different
feel, that's all. Yeah.
Yeah. I still don't like Edmonton's goaltending.
Anders Nielsen's done well.
They've done what they can. I shouldn't say I don't like them. I think they're good goalies. I think they still are missing that solid number one. And Toronto, James Reimer has played over his head.
And if Edmonton
made a good feel around here.
Sorry, if Edmonton was doing this with McDavid, then it'd have a really different feel.
You're right. Connor McDavid, part of our Hockey Central pregame show tonight on Sportsnet Ontario East and West at 7 o'clock. And then it's the Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs across the country. Vancouver and Anaheim on Sportsnet Pacific tonight as we bring you a four-game night in the NHL. Game Center Live will have the Rangers and Carolina Hurricanes, Colorado Avalanche, against the New York Islanders. Thanks to Rick St. Croix for stopping by, and thanks for you for listening to Hockey Central at Noon.